But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he who has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers. Just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. I'm David Allen, and like Chris, been part of the congregation here for too many years. That wasn't meant to be a joke, particularly. I was struck, actually, this morning when I looked on my Bible app for the verse today, and I'm going to read it to you, because it very much fits with what we're thinking of today. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And all those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?" I thought that's a fantastic question to set before we look at the passage that Peter read to us. So think on that. Because I will come back to that verse. If I forget, remind me. Because I want us to go with that question. And perhaps when you're talking to each other after the service, enjoying a cup of coffee, taking prayer ministry, you actually think of that and the consequences that that brings us. You can find the verse in John chapter 11, and it's where Jesus is talking to Martha and Mary after he'd raised Lazarus from death. And that was the big question that Jesus asked Martha and Mary. Do you believe this? Because, as you probably guessed, we are looking at the passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul addresses a question which seemed to be very much on the hearts and minds of the Corinthian church. But before we go there, I just want us to be quiet and ask God to bless this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words of encouragement to us. Pray now that your Holy Spirit may come and open our ears and our hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week, we looked at the beginning of this passage in 1 Corinthians 15, where Chris reminded us, from the words of Paul, of the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. Because it's a key point in the message that Paul preached. It was central to the message that Jesus rose again. Because without it, following Jesus becomes almost meaningless. I say almost because I think there's still meaning there even if it didn't happen. And you'll pick that up as we go through this passage in 1 Corinthians. So I may say things to make us think, because it's good that we think through our faith, because we have a message to share. And when Chris said, "Are you okay if Peter reads?" And I said, "Oh, I hope so." There's a couple of meanings to the word hope. You get the hope, the shrug of shoulders, thinking, "Oh, I hope that'll happen. It'd be good if it does." Like, will Southampton win this afternoon? Are they playing this afternoon? Oh, okay. Arsenal supporters, if you're here and you're willing to own up to it, you may have greater hope than Southampton supporters. But, you know, it could go either way. But when, as Christians, we talk about hope in Jesus, it's a positive hope. And there is a difference. Hopefully, I may not unpack that, but the Holy Spirit will unpack that for you. I'm not copping out, and it's lovely when Chris says, "Oh, there's no service afterwards. We can take as long as we like." So have you got your sandwiches, coffee? Yeah. Okay. You have. Great. So eyewitness accounts that Paul shared with the church in Corinth. And what was the problem in Corinth? Well, of course, it was not a Jewish town because we're in Greece. And the people in that part of the world had different thoughts about life. And for them, life was for now, but the soul was the thing that went on. Whereas many Hebrews saw that what God was promising, that there would be new life in body as well as spirit. It can't be divided. It's a whole. It's complete. And so the Corinthian church, some were beginning to drift back to their old philosophies. And the thing was, there can't be a resurrection. We don't believe it. Not a bodily resurrection, surely. And it reminded me of the story that some of you may have read to your children, called The Hungry Caterpillar. You know, yes, you know it. And it's a lovely story, but it gives us an inkling of what we're talking about. At the moment, and sorry, I don't wish to offend anyone, you're caterpillars. Okay? You're going around munching on different things to get food. But that's not what you're planned to be. That's not what you're going to be. You're not going to be a caterpillar all your life. There's something greater to come. And as long as you don't... Sorry, parables always break down if you think too hard and you're not eaten by a bird that thinks that's a tasty caterpillar. But you're all caterpillars. And then death comes. And that comes to us all, bodily speaking. And some of us feel nearer that than others, perhaps. And what happens to the caterpillar? It goes into a cocoon, and to all intents and purposes, it's dead. It doesn't move. There's not much going on. And then what happens? It breaks out, and it's a butterfly or a moth, and it has complete freedom. It doesn't have to search for leaves crawling around on the ground, but it can fly. And I think that's a lovely picture, really, of what we mean when we're resurrected into a new life. And it's what Jesus was talking about to his disciples. And so when Paul here addresses the Corinthian church, he makes some comments which are quite astounding. I don't know whether you picked up on them, a particular verse that thought, ooh, yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. Because what does he say? He says, if Jesus did not rise to life through the power of God, his Father, if that didn't happen, we might as well go home. Because we're wasting our time. They're strong words. But Paul says, think about it. Well, look at it. Shall we look? Verse 12 of chapter 15. And I'm using a slightly different translation to you, but the meaning is there. Now, since our message is that Christ has been raised from death, how can some of you say that the dead will not be raised to life? It's a fantastic question. It's a question that we can ask ourselves. It's the question that Jesus asked Martha after he'd raised Lazarus from death. If you don't believe, then there's no point in what we're doing. There's no good news to share. There's no hope to share with those who, let's face it, feel hopeless and helpless. And I think Paul really does grapple with the question. And I'm not going to go through sentence by sentence, because that's your homework. Not only that, I'm going to suggest that you try to learn the verse that I opened with from John chapter 11, because I think it's good to remember words of scripture to share with people at the right time. So Paul says that if Christ hasn't been raised, then there's no point in us carrying on. And verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion and you are still lost in your sins. Because if Jesus didn't have the power over death given to him by his Father, then sins couldn't be forgiven. Then you're just like, well, no change. You know, it's like election time. You see the results come up and Labour win, Con win, Lib Dem win, no change. And of course, without Christ rising to life, there's no change. That's what Paul is arguing here. He's putting the point of view that Christ died and was raised. So if our hope in Christ is good for this life and no more, we deserve more than pity. But there's more to it, isn't there? Verse 20, but the truth is that Christ has been raised from death. And the term here used is as the guarantee that those who sleep in death will also be raised. Wonderful word. And it's going back to what I said at the beginning, the different meanings, shades of meaning on the word hope. It's not just hope Saints win this afternoon, which is what Chris is thinking. I don't know if there are any Arsenal supporters here. It doesn't seem to be, so we're safe. But I know Penny and Katie know a lot of the Africans in Uganda all support Arsenal. So they'll be cheering them on. They'll have greater hope than Chris. I don't know. That's another point, isn't it? For just as death came by means of a man, in the same way the rising from death comes by means of a man. Sin entered the world through Adam, the first man sinned against God, and death was the result. But what Paul is saying is that through Jesus' death and resurrection, there is life, there is hope, there is a future, there's something new. Remember the caterpillar going through chrysalis, becoming a butterfly? You looking forward to being a butterfly? This is where the parable picture does fall down somewhat, because those of you who are botanists will know that a caterpillar's lifespan is probably longer than a butterfly's. But this is where the parable has to be turned round. Okay, so there's something to encourage you. Your life as a caterpillar is going to be shorter than your life as a butterfly. So through Christ, we are given new hope. For Christ must rule until God defeats all enemies and puts them under his feet. For the scripture says, God put all things under his feet. Paul goes on to say, it's clear, of course, that the words all things do not include God himself, who puts all things under Christ. God the Father. Do you remember the reading that Peter read from John's Gospel, where Jesus was pointing out to the disciples, if you know me, you know the Father? Because they were saying, well, can we see God? Can we see your Father? He's saying, see me? See the Father. The Father is in me and I am in the Father. And so it is central to our hope in Jesus Christ that he was raised to life and we too can be raised to new life. Paul goes on and his argument, remember why he was arguing this. It's because many of the Christian church in Corinth did not believe that Jesus had been raised to life. They had fallen back to the Greek philosophy that the body was not important, only the soul was important. But Jesus gives us a different message. The whole person is important to me. And that's why there is the promise of eternal life. Remember John in the famous verse that I'm sure you all remember, although the wording might be slightly different. If I asked you to say John 3:16, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that all who believe in him should not perish. Notice perish, death, not as Paul uses here for Christians, sleep. Slight difference. Do you remember when Jesus healed the little girl, Jairus' daughter? And the people rushed to Jairus and say, don't bother the master anymore, she's died. And what does Jesus say? No, she's not dead, but she is sleeping. And what did Jesus do? He went to her, held her hand, and she was brought to life. In the same way, I believe Jesus can come and touch us and make us alive through his Holy Spirit. And that's the message that Paul is trying to give to the people. The church, remember, is talking to people who profess faith. just as the congregation here and many congregations throughout the world. But do we doubt or do we hope? Now, it's wonderful because some of the disciples doubted. I do love Thomas. He said what it was, didn't he? Do you remember the story after the resurrection? Jesus had appeared to his disciples, but poor dear Thomas wasn't there. And he joined the brothers and sisters. And they said, Thomas, great news. Jesus came to us. And what did Thomas say? Well, unless I touch him and see him, I don't believe you. And the wonderful thing is that the following week Jesus came to him and said, Thomas, here I am. Touch me, feel me, see? The imprint of the nails. The mark where I was pierced. My Lord and my God. Thomas recognised Jesus for who he is. The risen Son of God, the Messiah, the one who saves, the one who brings us into a new relationship with our Heavenly Father. So all things can be made new. Do you think Paul is making a great point to the Corinthian church? Do you think they're taking it on board? If you look at some of what he has to say, you can tell, of course, it wasn't delivered like this. It was a scroll or letter sent to the Corinthian church, so he couldn't see how they were responding to his words. There might have been some who did fall asleep during the reading of his letter. I don't know. Certainly, it is recorded that some people did fall asleep during his sermons. But there is a difference. I found this one of the most difficult parts, and I'm going to not completely address it. Leave that to the Holy Spirit, because there are various ideas. Verse 29. Now, what about those people who are baptized for the dead? What do they hope to accomplish? If it is true, as some claim, that the dead are not raised to life, why are those people being baptized for the dead? Here I looked it up, and the word baptized, the Greek word, is actually almost equivalent to death. And when you think of it, that's what the baptism service says. When you go into the waters of baptism, it's a picture of dying to self. And then when you're brought out of the water, you're raised to new life. So it makes sense, although we probably don't think of it like that. When we go to a baptism, we're not thinking, oh, we're going to see a death. But in one sense, spiritually speaking, it's symbolic that when a person goes into the water of baptism, they're dying to self. And then when they're brought out, they're raised to new life. It's a picture to help us understand the message of hope that Jesus brings. And that's key. So I think that does help us to see what Paul is getting at in those verses. And he says, I face death every day. He even talks about wild beasts here in Ephesus, because we presume that Paul was writing this letter when he was in Ephesus. He wasn't talking about literal wild beasts. I don't think there were wolves or lions or whatever outside his house. There might have been. But the idea is that he was under pressure. He was being persecuted for his faith. And this reminds me of something which I read just before Easter. It's a pastor of a South Sudan church. He had been a Muslim, as had his family. But they saw the Messiah Jesus, and they came to him and were baptized and became Christians. And they led a small congregation in South Sudan. And what happened? Some extremists burst in on the family. They raped and murdered his daughters and his wife, and lastly himself. It's horrible what they did. But the pastor had hope. And the amazing thing is, last Sunday, that congregation, there were nearly 500 people baptized into faith in Jesus Christ. So even though the situation for the Christians looked hopeless, they saw the bigger picture. They saw what Jesus was doing, giving them new life. And they had hope in the words of Jesus. So I come back to that question. John chapter 11, well, it's two verses actually. It's John 11, 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And all those who live and believe in me will never die." Do you believe this?